Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing songs of praise to him.
Yeah.
For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. Mm-hmm. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you will listen to his voice today. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, and as they did at Massa in the wilderness. For there your ancestors tested and tried by patience, even though they saw everything I did.
Yeah.
For 40 years I was angry with them, and I said, they are a people whose hearts turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath that will never enter my place of rest. So, you know, tough ending. Anybody have a tough ending? So, God gave me this verse, and I was like, Lord, what do you want me to say to your people? And he said, I'm going to say it to you first. I was like, all right, that's what you do. Yes, sir. And because I've been, you know, he'd been talking to me about worship.
Yes.
Like worshiping in spirit and truth. Worshiping is a sincere, wholehearted thing that I give all my being. Whether it's dancing, whether it's singing, whether it's clapping, how I live my life to the fullest for God is worship. And so he showed me here, this is how to worship God. And so he asked me, how does it say to worship me? And so in verse 1 and 2, it says, come, let us sing to the Lord, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation, let us come to him with thanksgiving, let us sing songs of praise to him. So I was like, yeah, we do that at church on Sundays, we do that when we get in the car, you know, he's coming to sing it to you, Lord, you know, just sing. And it's worshiping you. And he was like, so how does this describe me? So I read it again. First thing that came to me was a great king above all gods. So I was like, you're the God, you know, you're God, you're a great king above all gods. And I was like, rock of salvation, you're my salvation. And it says, you're a people he watches over, the flock under his care. When I thought about that one, I was like, you care for us, so we're under your care, so you're like Father, you know?
Yeah.
And so he said, if this is how we come, are we supposed to come before him, why don't we do it? So if this is how we're supposed to come before him, why don't we come before him? It's every time we come before him. Why don't we come before him, sing to the Lord, shout joyfully, you know, thanksgiving in our hearts, songs, praise to him, why don't we do it? And I was like, I don't know, because I struggle sometimes too. Like, I might have a bad day, Lord. And I'm just talking to God. I might have a bad day, and I might have a good attitude, or I might be sick, or, you know, my dog died, you know, so I might be grieving my dog, you know, and so I'm sad, you know, so like, I don't feel this. I don't feel the joyfulness. I don't feel the thankfulness. I don't feel none of that. And so he was like, what? Who am I to you? And I said, who are you to me? You're my God. He said, who am I to you? Because if you can't come before me this way, you don't see me as this. And so I was like, well, Lord, I do see you, but I should be sad. And I just, you know, he's like, because you're in this area of sadness and grief. But when you say, for the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods, he holds in his hand the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. He holds the whole earth in his hands.
Right.
I'm in his hands.
Yeah.
So even in my sadness, I'm in his hands.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So I should be grateful and thankful that I'm in his hands. I can be sad, but I know that I'm in his hands.
Right.
And if I know that I'm in his hands, I can come before. for me.
Right.
Yes.
Thankfully, giving praise.
Yes.
So, God says, you praise what is praiseful to you. So, if you can't praise me, I'm not praiseful to you because you're not seeing me as praiseful. You're not seeing me for who I am. For us, you praise what is praiseful to you. Example, I've been watching SWAT. I don't know if you have a TV show. I like action shows, you know, and so Grandma would tell you, she would hear me yelling for the characters in SWAT, the police officers, when they're trying to be bad guys and they're like fighting them, and I'm cheering for the police officers to get them. You better get them, girl! Get them, take them down, take them down! That's me. Take them down! And they're just going like, yes! I'm doing it. They didn't hear me, they on TV.
Right.
But I am literally praising a TV person, a TV character.
Yeah.
Because I'm cheering them on. I'm telling them, you better go train, you better get that, put that train to work, you know, or oh, she can't, you can't take them down. I'm gonna be worried because they're here. You know, yeah. So, you know, like that whole thing, he used the SWAT to tell me, like, yo,
yeah,
see how confident you are in this TV series, these people on the TV series, and you're praising them. Yeah, I'm way, way, way more big than no bad man. And when you be down, you don't be praising me.
Wow.
You don't worship me.
Wow.
Praise and worship is a weapon.
Amen.
Yeah.
We send angels to fight on our behalf when we start worshiping and praising.
Yeah.
But because we're down, we can't see. So, he said, this is why you can't praise. And he took me down to when he was saying, don't harden your heart. So I'm going to read it again. It says, the Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, as they did at Massa in the wilderness. For there your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw everything I did.
Yeah.
For 40 years I was angry with them, and I said, they are people whose hearts turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them, so in my anger, I take an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. So, this part right here, God was talking about Israel when they were in the wilderness. So, before they got free, when they got free from Egypt, and God took them across the Red Sea, like, he did everything. He had the pillar before them.
Right.
And behind them, the cloud.
Yeah.
So, you know, they had that where he had Egypt's, the people of Egypt that was trying to chase him. He stopped them from following him.
Yeah.
Then when they followed him to the sea, he parted the sea, so they could walk on dry ground.
Right.
And they went across. And he drowned them, right? And so they just seen all of this. Israel just seen all this. And not even 3 days later, it's in Exodus.
Wow.
Y'all want to read it? Again, it's in Exodus. It goes from chapter 15 to 17. Not even 3 days later, when they crossed that Red Sea, and they got over into the land, and they were going to where God was taking them, they started complaining about water. We want some water. Man, you should have left us. We want some water. We need our water. It's 3 days. After God did this, all this, he did all the plagues too before that, and he kept them safe.
Right, right.
And then he let them go free in the water on the dry ground. So they started complaining about water. God gave them water. Right, right. A month later, they started complaining about food. So he gave them food from heaven.
Yeah.
While he gave them food from heaven, he said, you get your food, you keep it, you take only what you need, and don't keep it the next morning.
Right.
What they do? They kept it because they did not trust. So they kept it because I'm going to get some food tomorrow, we're going to get food tomorrow. Even though he just rescued them, y'all. He just rescued them. So they kept it. Moses was like, these people, Lord, these people. Like he said, they kept it, they found maggots, it was stinking, all that stuff. Then he was like, grab extra. God said, well, here, grind extra, you know, because the Sabbath, he not gonna, it's not going to heal because he's resting.
Right.
So he supposed to grind extra. They grind extra, but they still went outside on the seventh day to go see if there was some food out there. Testing and trying.
Yes, testing and trying.
So we had a lack of trust. When God said, do this, and do it, and then he, you know, something else, we try to do something else. We have a lack of trust, and it's tested. So for Israel, they was complaining all the time. Even after he fed them, gave them the bread from heaven, and then they went somewhere else, what did they start complaining about again? So water. They just started complaining about water again. After he gave bread from heaven, he gave quail, he gave water. Then they went somewhere else to a new place. And they said, where water? We don't know water. Then they said, is the Lord with us or not?
Wow.
So they're not complaining to Moses. They're complaining to Jesus. They're complaining to God.
Yeah.
You with us or not, Lord? Is you with us or not? With an attitude.
Yeah.
And it was a lack of trust. So they're complaining, but it's arguing. They're arguing, but it's unbelief. Unbelieving heart. What does that say about us when we complain about things that God tells us to do? Right? He brings us in areas where he brings us. He puts us in places. Then we start complaining. He gave us a way to get here. He put us in certain positions.
Yeah.
So we either trust him
well
in the position or the place he has us, or we will complain. If we complain, it's going to lead to some argument. If we keep complaining, it's going to lead to argument, which will lead to unbelief. Which eventually, if you keep on unbelieving, it's going to harden the heart. There will be no rest. So for Israel, this is why God always tells us to remember Israel. And Meribah is a place called arguing, and Massa is a place called test. So when we're complaining and arguing and testing God, that is not a good place to be, guys. So he says, don't harden your hearts. Don't complain. Don't argue. When we have no belief, it leads to no trust. No trust leads to no rest. So, it goes back to, who is God to you? It's always a personal name because God's personal with us. You have a personal relationship with him. Who is he to you? So, to me, I say, God, you're my king, my savior, and my father. And he gave me two passages that I'm going to read from. So the first one is 1 Kings chapter 19 and verses 9 through 18. And this is about Elijah. So we all know about Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah is a prophet of God who speaks the word of God. He did whatever God told him to do. He did a lot of works. He started with a drought. Proclaiming there's going to be a drought.
Yeah.
God fed him with the ravens during the drought. He also gave him water from a brook.
Right.
So we see God taking care of Elijah during the drought. He went to a widow's house,
mm-hmm.
and God fed all of them.
Right.
Kept them through the drought. The widow's son died.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah prayed 3 times, God brought the son back. So miracles through Elijah. Then Elijah prayed for rain, God sent rain. Then, so when he sent the rain, he went to battle with Baal and Asherah's prophets, and it was Israel watching. So it was like 850 of false prophets that he was battling against with Israel watching. So Elijah had confidence in God. And so he defeated the prophets. They got killed. and then when word got back to Jezebel, she got mad and told Elijah she was gonna kill. He got scared and he ran. And so this is where we're going to start from. He ran. So when he ran somewhere, he hid, and he was under a tree, and he was asleep. He asked God to take him. He was like, Lord, just take me. Like, he was there, he was like, come here, take me, Lord, take me now. And he was asleep. God woke him up, fed him. He went back to sleep. God woke him up, fed him, told him for the journey. So where God had Elijah going was Sinai. Is that how you say that? Sinai. Not Sinai. All right, so he had one to Mount Sinai, which just means the mountain of God. That's where Moses talked to God. So he had Elijah go, and it took him 40 days to get there. Mm-hmm. He had the strength of the meal that God gave him to get there. So this is where we're going to start. There, in verse 9, he said, there he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, again, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you. Turn down your altars and kill every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Then the Lord told him, go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu's grandson of Nimshi to be king of Israel. And anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others from Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him. Mm-hmm. So here, it kind of sounds like Elisha's complaining, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Lord, I'm serving you zealously, God. But people, and then they killed all your prophets on the whole list. So it sounds like he's complaining. But God's response to Elijah is different than Israel.
Right.
So God even came to Elijah different than he did Moses.
Right.
He came Moses big.
Right.
Elijah's gentle whisper. One, Elijah was dead and depressed.
Yeah.
He did all this stuff. He's seen all this stuff God did too. God did all kinds of things for him. He just defeated 850 false prophets in front of his people, in front of God's people. And so he got scared and ran, and he's depressed. Because it probably seems like nothing's working, He's talking about, I've been working hard and zealously serving the Lord. Right? Make sure I know you are God. You're the only God. So he's down. So God comes to him differently than he did Moses. Because Elijah knows who God is. He's not questioning who God is. He's just like, God, I'm tired. It's not a complaint. He's just being real with God. He's got that personal relationship. Because he trusts God. So he's like, he did all this for me, so I'm just going to head. You ready for me? You ready for me? Come take me. So he had a different response to Elijah, and I really, really loved it because it showed like Elijah all about God's business. So God said, "I'm your king. You see me as my king. As your king, you're going to be God. Kingdom business. You're going to be kingdom focused. Everything's about your king. You're going to make sure your king is exalted. You're going to make sure everybody knows who the king is. You're going to share the king with everybody. Make sure he's the only one with you."
Right.
That's what Elijah did.
Yeah.
So he showed Elijah, he showed to me through Elijah that the king is always in control. So when he said that the earth in his hands, the mountain and the earth in his hands, the king had total control.
Yeah.
So one first thing he did, he gave him an assignment. He didn't even address that Elijah was down.
Right.
He didn't say, "Oh, it's okay." He said, "No, here's what I want you to do." So he moved his mind.
Yeah.
He shifted his mind back to
order,
command. Yeah. Here's my command. Yeah. And because Elijah's like, "This is my king, I'm listening."
Right.
That's good.
He didn't complain. He didn't say, "Look at the people." He said, "I'm listening." Here's your command. Here's your assignment. You got through. You're gonna go anoint the king. You're gonna go get Elijah and anoint Elijah. And he said, and he also said, "You're not by yourself."
Yeah.
So he wait, let me make sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when he arrived there, anoint Hazel to be the king, then anoint anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. So his world is really split too, because Israel split.
Yeah.
So they got Israel and Judah.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of stuff happening. God's people's not being right. So you got this person, this prophet of God, this man of God, who is trying to bring the king up in this crazy world.
Yeah.
Now that's not like us.
Yeah.
Me in a crazy world.
Yeah.
So he can either be like Israel, or he can be like Elijah. And he's like, "What's the command?"
Hmm.
"I'm listening." So he gave him three. Anoint the king, Hazel, anoint Jehu, anoint him, and then get Elijah and anoint him to be your prophet. He's going to follow. He's going to take your place. So he said, "You don't have to worry because there's 700 other people. I have 700 other people who ain't never back. That's like you, so you're not by yourself."
Mm-hmm.
So he encouraged Elijah. So it made me happy because it's like, when my world seems like it's falling apart, if I'm down, I do not have to worry because the king is in control.
Yes.
So it's like a relief, kind of like with SWAT. When people is in that crazy situation, and then SWAT comes in, and it's like they hear it. That's how God is, but he's always here. So he says that the kingdom is now. We have the kingdom in us.
Yes.
The king is in us.
Yes.
And so we don't have to worry about what's going on in the crazy world because God has us.
Yes.
So if I see God as my king, I will not bow, I will not complain, I will not fold. I will listen for a command.
Wow.
So that I can get to where he has me to the next assignment. Because it says he is a great God, a great king above all gods. So we always should remember that. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. When he declares something, that is what it is.
Amen.
You follow the word of the Lord. Elijah followed the word of the Lord. When he followed it, he got out of that depression. Because he had an assignment. Because the king told him what to do. The king is in control. Okay, he told me what to do, so I don't got to worry about nothing. Oh my gosh, I got 700 other people. Thank you for encouraging me that I'm not by myself. Letting me actually see. If I'm complaining, I can't see what he says. Because I'm in unbelief. I'm not trusting.
Yeah.
So I'm hardened. So I'm not able to see what he's trying to give me. Because I'm in complaining. In order for God to be king and have reign and rule in our lives, we got to trust him fully. So, again, who is God to you? So, God is my Savior. Psalm 95:1. Go back to it. Come, let us sing to joy. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. So salvation, God of my salvation, God is my Savior. For somebody to be your Savior, you have to save from something that you can't get yourself out of.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we see as Savior. For me, God showed me Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Okay.
For the example of the Savior. Like, Daniel and the lion's den. You get thrown in the lion's den, some hungry lions, you can't get out of there. But Daniel did not complain.
Right.
Because he knows God to be his Savior. Mm-hmm. It always goes back to the personal relationship you have with God. Mm-hmm. The more time you spend with God, the more God will reveal to you who
yes.
he is to you.
Yes.
So Daniel said, God, I said, I don't care about getting thrown in the lion's den. I'm going to pray to God. Y'all told me, tell me not to pray. I'm praying. That's my God. I'm going to lift him up. He saved me. And that's just my Savior. You want to throw me in lines, then go ahead and throw me in lines, and he's going to be with me. Basically.
Yeah.
But God still with me. So, my Savior, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the fire. Well, I'm pretty sure they were scared.
Well.
I'm pretty sure I would be scared, but they know God to be their Savior. We ain't down now.
Yeah.
That's our king. That's the king, the true God. I'm not bowing down to nothing else. So when you got fire coming up against you,
mm-hmm.
if you don't know who God is to you, you're going to battle.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. If you got lions coming up against you, you're thrown into something crazy, and you don't know who God is, you're going to stop praying, you're going to stop listening, you're going to stop believing,
that's right.
you're going to stop trusting.
That's right.
Because you don't know who
right.
he is to you. You have to know who God is to you personally
yes.
so that you can stand your ground,
yes.
so that you can worship God, so that you can do what he tells you to do, listen to the King, know who your Savior is.
Mm-hmm.
Have that confidence in who God is. So, well, today when we put our faith in Jesus and we believe that he died for our sins and God raised him from the dead, we are saved. That's Romans 10 and 9. So knowing and believing God to be our Savior shifts our mindsets from circumstances and craziness
yeah.
that are bad to I got a Savior who got my back. I got a Savior who's going to save me. You know, and the Bible is like, oh God, oh Lord, save me.
Yeah.
They're crying out.
Right.
When we're like going through something, like, oh Jesus, Jesus, help me.
Right.
Jesus, Jesus, save me. Oh Lord, please stop it. Please save me. You know? When we're in those crazy situations, even when we're not in crazy situations, that's always in your mindset. I got a Savior who got my back. So that when they come up, when those crazy things come up, like my grandma, she don't be worried about stuff. I can be worried about storms. They give me anxiety.
Yeah.
But I know that God gave me peace in that tornado. So if I see a storm coming, I shouldn't get anxiety because I know the Lord saves me. I know I was my king and he got me.
Amen.
I shouldn't be afraid. Grandma would be in the I'm going to sleep. I'm like, you going to sleep? We might have to get in the bed. But I'll be watching the news. Like, it's coming. But seeing her, seeing the example of someone who trusts fully God to be their Savior, God to have her back, it helps me to trust fully, God's in my Savior, God on my back.
Yeah.
So that's why when we come here as a family, when we get together, we are to encourage each other. God's our Savior, he got our back, God's our King. When we're going like, hey, I'm struggling with this, always should be the first thing. God's your Savior, he got your back. Go ahead, I'm listening to you. I'm going to go ahead and listen to what you got stuff
right,
God to say.
Right, right.
And it is important, and I do care about your feelings.
Right.
I'm going to listen. I'm also going to remind you. God is your Savior, he got your back.
Yes.
Nothing can come against you.
Amen.
The great King has you in his hands.
Yeah.
Nothing can come against you. So, who So when we know God to be our Savior and believe that is who He is in our lives, that is who we will show to others. And that's what God told me. So if you believe, however you believe me to be, who I am to you, that's who you're showing. So, if we're complaining and stuff, that's not a good look. As a believer.
Amen.
If you're complaining as a believer, you're showing lack of trust.
Wow.
You're showing that God cannot be trusted. Which is not true.
Yeah.
So, if you want God, you want to show God as a king, follow the command. Exalt Him, lift Him up. There's nobody like Him. Wherever you go, that's who you're showing. Show God to be your Savior. Don't get anxiety. Don't get stressed. If you're our only believer in a circle of unbelievers and stuff is happening, it's kind of like when Virgil's talking about Jonah. That's Virgil's talking about Jonah. He was asleep and it was a storm on that boat. Even though Jonah was running from God, he's able to sleep. It's kind of weird. Because he's like, I don't want to go there because I don't know them people's prayers. He's running from God, but he knows God talking to him. It's low-key kind of shows that he still knew God was over in control of everything.
Yeah.
So he was able to sleep on the boat. Everybody's like, what's happening? The storm, blah, blah, blah. And what did Jonah need to do? He got to show who God was. Excuse me, I'm not going off. That's me. And the people on the boat, when they threw them off and the storm stopped, what did they do? They praised God. So, in the midst of storms and midst of craziness, if you're the only believer in your household and something's going on, are you crazy with everybody else?
Uh-oh.
Are you showing the peace from the one who is peace?
All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Who do you show God to be in your life? So one more time, who is God to you? Psalm 95:7 says, for He is our God, we are the people He watches over, the flock under His care. If only you listen to His voice today. So I said it in the beginning, when I read this, I was like, that's like a father. You know? Like somebody that cares for you and protects you. That's a daddy. You know? So it's kind of hard for some of us who their daddy wasn't really there to see God as father. But if you know God and you see the characteristics and see how He's taking care of you, you know Him as a father, even if you didn't have a day.
That's right.
So you're able to know Him as a father because He is your father. He is taking care of you. He is protecting you. He is guiding you. So on this one, He sent me to Luke 15. And that's with the three parables. I'm only going to read the last one. But the three parables about lost things. So the first parable is about the lost sheep that Jesus was teaching people and His disciples. He was teaching them in these parables, just His stories. And so when Jesus was teaching, the Pharisees were there too. And what was the Pharisees doing, people? Y'all know what they were doing? They was complaining. He over there eating with them sinners. Look, he over there sitting with the sinners and eating with them. Talking about Jesus. Complaining, but yet not able to see and receive the one who is God.
Yeah.
The one who is salvation.
Yeah.
Kind of scary. These are teachers of the law, the religious teachers who know who God is, who can see what God has done. But because they're always complaining, they can't receive salvation. They can't receive the rest. And Jesus brings. This is bad. Okay. So, the first one, the lost thing was lost sheep. Jesus saying that the shepherd will leave the 99 to go with the one.
Right.
And he joyfully cares the sheep home on his shoulders, calls everybody, and they celebrate.
Right.
And in verse 7 says, in the same way, there's more joy in heaven over sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. In the second parable, we see a woman has 10 coins and she loses one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like us when we lose our phone. Or we lose something that's, you know, valuable. We will tear up the house and clean up the house trying to find it. That's what she did with that one coin. You know, she tore up everything, tore the house up, cleaned it up, found it. Call everybody, I found a coin.
Yeah.
Rejoice at a party. In the same way, there's joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. So, how God showed me this as Father is on this last parable. So we know about the story of the prodigal son, how he asked his daddy for his inheritance early.
Mm-hmm.
The daddy gave it to him. He went and partied and was wild, spent all his money, family came. He didn't have nowhere to go. He was out. He was just out. He had nothing. So he hired himself out to a pig farmer.
Mm-hmm.
Was working there. Looked at the, he was so hungry, looked at the slop and was like, that looked good. But then, verse 17 is what I'm going to read. It says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger.
Mm-hmm.
I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house, put it on, get a ring for his finger, and sandals for his feet. Kill the calf we have been fattening, we must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of his servants what was going on. Your brother is back, he was told, and your father has killed the fatted calf. You are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. But he replied, all these years I have slaved for you, and never once refused you a single thing you told me to. And all that time you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when the son of yours comes back, after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fat calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the first thing I noticed when I read this was the dad loved both sons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he gave the younger one, was like, okay, here you go. Here's this for you. It showed me that God loves us. He gives us free will. He loves us. So when we get a relationship with Jesus, relationship with God, the only way to have a relationship with God is through Jesus. So if we believe in Jesus,
right,
and he died for our sins, and that God rose from the dead, we will be saved. He becomes our Savior. When we follow his commands, because we believe in Jesus, we follow him. We follow his commands.
Right.
God is king. He has authority over our life. So we follow him. He tells us to do something, we do. God is our king. As a father, he gives us a choice. He gives us a choice to love him, to serve him in how we love him.
Mm.
So here he showed me, I love both my sons. One, I was like, here you go, here's your inheritance. You know, you go out and you do what you need. He went out and did what he did.
Yeah.
And squandered it and just partied. But the father didn't stop loving him.
Right.
It was the son that had a realization because his father loved him. He had a realization that, oh man, I just gotta go back and ask for forgiveness. And I work. You know, I work.
Yeah.
Grace. Picture of grace. He had to go back and work.
Yeah.
He's a son.
Right.
We are heirs.
Yes.
In the kingdom.
Yes.
Amen.
We don't work for our salvation.
Amen.
It's a gift.
Yes.
But we serve in love.
Yes.
So, when the son went back and repented, and the father embraced him, he didn't know just repent. He was going back, and the dad seen him all the way coming. He was like, long way off, dad. He's like, my son went out there and ran to him. That's how God is with us. So, with Israel, he wanted to do that with Israel.
Yeah.
And stuck in complaining.
Wow.
The son could have been stuck in complaining, but he realized, I messed up. But my dad said, well, I know he loves me. Even if he treats his servants good, I can be a servant.
Yeah.
Another picture of how big the Father is. Not on his level. So it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go down low, low.
Yeah.
I'm going to get down real, real low.
Yeah.
That's another picture of seeing God as Father.
Yeah.
Like, he's our Father. And he loves us, yes, but he's still king. So we give him the respect that he deserves and the honor that he deserves. So we can't just come and talk to him any kind of way.
Amen.
The son realized that with the father. Sorry. You know, I'm sorry that I did this. You know, I come back and work for you.
Yeah.
And he was like, come, get him a robe, get him a ring, figure out a party, be back.
Yeah.
That's how God is with us. The second picture. What's the other son? The second son. That's us sometimes too.
Mm-hmm.
When people be out there living their lives. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, I was one of them. I still struggle. Hey, I still struggle. I still struggle. I'm 35.
Mm-hmm.
I want kids to be married.
Mm-hmm.
I'm following the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So when he says, that's what I have to do. If he ain't saying, here's your husband, I ain't got one. But I got God, you know?
Right.
So it's enough. It should be enough. It is enough.
Yes.
You are the word. So, but when I see people having kids, they ain't married, they ain't following the rules, they ain't doing nothing. I'm like, Lord, you let them have kids? You know I want kids. And they out there living hell, they want to live. They're supposed to be for you, and they're over there. When somebody comes to you crying,
yeah,
and saying, "That's good. Now this is happening. This is this. I'm not seeing God as my little brother, and I don't have a loving attitude towards that person," which is not good.
That's right.
It's not showing God to be a loving father.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm following Him, I'm a child of the King, a child of God. I try that loving attitude. Right?
Amen.
That's right.
So, the son did not have that loving attitude towards his brother because he was looking at himself. I've been doing everything, right? You ain't doing no part for me. What about my part? My friends here, can I do a little goat? You ain't gonna be no little goat. Because he was stuck on himself, not stuck on, that's my brother. My brother is back.
Yeah.
You know, because he wasn't probably spending time with the father. He's probably just working, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just working. So there's another one. We can just be working for God. Not spending time, just working. It's going to come out and show.
Yes.
That's how you respond when somebody comes up. Not good. But it's also a grace that God gives us. And He's showing us, like, hey, we're pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I love you. Come on, bring it in. I love you. And go say sorry to this person.
Yeah.
You know? So, God is my Father, who waited patiently for me to realize He loves me and really cares about me, and waited for me to come back to Him. I should have that same care and patience for others when they are so-called taking too long to get to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing when you've been praying for somebody. But if you see God as a Father, you know He's patient. He's patient with you. And you're able to remember, yeah, you were patient with me where I was doing my own thing for a long time. I could be patient with my brother right here. I could be patient with my sister right here.
Mm-hmm.
As you draw them to you. Because they got to be with me. So, we serve the God who is King of all and is coming back one day. I need to come back.
Amen.
So, got to make sure we're staying close to Him that we can show, so that we can show who God truly is in our lives and not ourselves. Because He is coming back.
Amen.
So, that is the word. That's what God says.
Good word.
Blessing to you. So God, thank you, God, that you are our King, our Savior, and our Father, Lord. God, I thank you that for your word today, God. I thank you that we will hear it and receive it and hold tightly to it and apply it, God, and live it out. Help us to always keep you forefront of our minds and hearts, Lord, so that we can follow you, follow your command, Lord. Help us when we do have unbelief, Lord, help our hearts to remember you and to turn back to you, Lord. Those who struggle in any situation that try to like get our focus off of you, Lord, I pray that you will just protect us, Lord, and that we will have that trust, Lord, that you are King. You hold the earth in your hands, Lord, so we got us in your hands. Thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for being our God and our King and our Savior and our Father. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God.